So we are at the end of the Christmas season that gave us in Matthew's gospel the most incredible gift ever given. Matthew makes sure that we know the Christ child is pure and wonderful gift. But it took us all of Epiphany to try and unpack and unwrap that gift in small ways to get to know, receive more comfortably, and to begin a relationship with Jesus. So now the opportunity today is to remember back to his beginning in baptism when he came forth in a stunning way, and Jesus was said to have heard or been told with others, "This is my son, the beloved." Now, I don't know about you, but baptism into his baptism means so are we. Beloved in that way. Children because he was a child who set us free in so many ways. It's a gift to be baptized with him into the love of God that claims us and sets us free at the same time. Beautifully then, what's old today, the second time we've heard this said, is only the beginning of something new. Listen to him. Now, we're going to get to that in a little bit, but isn't it marvelous that if something like that is being said and added, something's happening on that mountain, and if you and I take the dangerous path of thinking it was only for them, we could lose out. So let's take a walk up that mountain and be there as Matthew intended with them, especially, and I invite you because that's what Matthew wants, with Peter. He comes front and center, doesn't he? Let's find out what's beginning brand new as Jesus from here takes those disciples off the mountain to the most important life-changing places and events. What happened on the mountain to begin all that? Something pretty impressive. Can you imagine going up on a mountain where earth touches sky and God is closest? In fact, it's the front door to God's home and God is right there. Have you wanted something like that at a time in your world when things seemed to be coming apart or waiting and meaning was hard to find or life itself had drained out in big ways? To be that hungry spiritually and ache for God, this is your invitation and mine to come back and meet God on the mountain with them. Maybe we'll even have an hallelujah because of it. Let's try. Going up that mountain then, whatever it looked like, you are being touched by the sky that is God's home. You and I can sit on holy ground. We become the children who are invited home to be with God up there. And to prove God's point, the very next thing that happens immediately is Jesus suddenly is so godly looking, you can't see much. It's hard to describe, but he is out of this world, white and bright. And that is enough to get our attention. And with that, we're also a little on the edge of what else can God do, because it's a little scary to see God in the Old Testament. It could cause death. Certainly, it can overwhelm people. But let's see what goes on here. God is not done acting, because the next blink of an eye, and there are Moses and Elijah standing with Jesus, and whoever thought that could happen? But it's there for a purpose, because all that Moses and Elijah stand for, hard to unpack as non-Jews for us, is that they were witnesses of the most amazing moments where God is tying history together in this moment for Jesus to begin fulfilling a promise, that his name is a promise coming true. I save you, or God saves. Incredible. They point to Jesus by their presence. They don't have to say a word to those who know best. It's absolutely amazing that God is on the march And Peter tries to interrupt and break in, and he says, well, wait a minute. We're supposed to build a memorial to this moment. We want to build a house that'll shelter these three of you. Give me time. Let me put up the three booths for you. That's what we do, because then in the future, people can come by and say, oh, I remember being told about that event. I want to remember all of its holiness. Guess what? Did Peter get an answer? Oh, yeah, and no. He didn't get words. The very next thing, the cloud of the Old Testament that hides God's incredibly awesome and hard-to-look-at presence comes in, takes over. And in that cloud comes the voice that confirms this is God. Nobody doubted. And yet it is so difficult for them to be there that almost as if thrown to the ground, they collapse to the dirt. And their life seems to be ebbing out of them in fear. And God is heard saying, this is my son again. As if they hadn't heard it the first time. My beloved, declaring all that is coming before it happens. And then says, listen to him. Now, I don't know, but I think we could imitate if we told each other the best part of what God had done for us this week. Could you hear somebody like me up front without a microphone saying, excuse me, can I break in? I believe God is here so busy cracking open this whole new project that we don't have a chance to say hallelujah, even if we had the voice. Neither do Peter, James, and John. And it's for good reason. Because the time for that's gone. The time now is to live those moments. By listening, we have to get in close. You know how hard it is to listen in our world. We turn on the radio, it jabbers at us. It fills space. We turn on the day, and noise fills every moment. We're so busy thinking, if we're not hearing, it's noisy. And the world out there says, oh, there is no God. You're fools in the first place. Everybody's a God in their world. So you and I have the hardest time being still and listening instead. But it's crucial, because to get close enough, we got to listen. And then we might hear the most amazing things, like, my beloved, my child, what did God say to those guys that were crumpled on the mountaintop there? Well, he didn't say it first. Jesus came over and touched him. You imagine God touching you in a way that said, hello, safely. I love you as a child forever. Now, I raise you up, just like Jesus will be. I raise you up for the next things are even more amazing. I raise you up so we can raise up others. I need you. Doesn't that sound amazing? And that is the mountaintop from which Jesus takes us next, listening for the next moment. And it came to a wonderful woman who wrote about it so many years later in this past December's Reader's Digest, one of those Christmas miracles, so-called. She was 15 that year in 1949, might be a peer of some of yours. And interestingly, she had asked for, waited, and was told there was no money left to buy that wonderful dress this young lady wanted at her age. So she dejectedly got ready for Dad to come in from the chores, which were already done early, and to begin their customary Bible reading for the evening. But all he did was swish on by and head back outside again, and she wondered what was going on. But Mom knew and smiled at her. Finally, he came back in and said, come on, Elizabeth, bundle up. It's cold out, and I need you. Well, she did what he asked, not with a whole lot of spirit in her, and went outside, and as soon as she opened the door, oh boy, there with dread was that huge sled with upright sides on it, sitting in front of the work shed with wood. And she knew what was coming. She went over to that, and that bottomless sled soon was loaded with wood, firewood, so high that then she had to wonder if the horses could pull the darn thing. Just incredible. And then they started off, almost silently. Finally, she got the words, "Pa, what are you doing?" He had already come back with a satchel on one shoulder she knew was flour, and another one was bacon, and then a small bag next to him on the hip that was hard to guess at. "What are you doing, Dad?" He said, "Have you been to the Widow Clark's lately?" "She lived 2 miles down the road from us," Liz said. "Lots of neighbors in between." "Why is it our business?" was her thought. She didn't say it, I understand. Well, now there was firewood that she knew the cost of. Because she had been the one going up the mountain with Dad to bring it down, hauling it, breaking it up, splitting it, and making it ready for their fires all winter long. She bit her lower lip and decided to be quiet. And they pulled up at the house as Dad finished saying, "Well, I went by today and I saw little Jake, one of the three children for Widow Clark, out at the firewood pile, kicking in the snow, trying to get chips out of the dirt. They had no firewood left and it was freezing. Okay, let's put the firewood around the back of the house." They did, and then they went up to the door and knocked, and slowly it opened just a moment enough for the woman to kind of hesitatingly say, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm James Cotton. This is my daughter Elizabeth. Can we come in for a moment? We have something for you." And she hesitatingly opened the door, smart, and rewrapped her shawl around her shoulders and the shawl around the three kids. All he had was a small knit shawl, and the fire was pitiful in the fireplace, but there was one. Well, they came in, and Dad brought in and put on the table the huge satchel of flour, the bacon next to it, and then he pulled the shoes that were in that small little satchel and put them out on the table, and there were 4 pair, one for each child and one for her. And they tried on these sturdy shoes, and then Dad passed out a piece of candy to each of them, and the shoes fit like a glove. And Liz said, "How did he know?" And then said, "It's got to be God. God was up to this from the beginning. How could he know what size to get them?" It's at that point that the kids just exploded forward. She was in tears, the widow, and the kids came up and got big hugs, and that's what they needed from a guy and his daughter. And so finally Dad said, "You know, tomorrow's Christmas. We'd like to have you at our place for the meal. We'll come get you about 11 o'clock. And with that, her tears couldn't stop her anymore. She said, "God bless you. I know he already has." And as they left, that's when Dad said, "Liz, I know that you wanted that dress so badly. Your mom and I had carefully saved for that. This is what became of it. We hope you don't mind." As she wrote it, she said it was the best Christmas memory she's been gifted with yet, ever. Can you imagine what it's like to listen well enough as he did to find that God moment so blessed that everybody receives? That's the gift of listening that awaits us as we come off the mountain. It's a beautiful place to be, next to God in these moments that truly are saving, and to be there because we're called children, needed, and God loves us, and everyone we come to. God bless, go with us, and catch our open ear as we listen to him. Amen.